Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
So I've been getting a lot of patients lately who have overwhelm. This overwhelm thing is a common problem. There's too much going on.
Yeah, we're constantly stimulated by information coming at us at all sorts of directions.
Yeah, I think it's more, information is part of it, but it kind of creates an atmosphere. But it's tasks that need to be done, important tasks, things like paying bills and driving kids around.
In modern society, we have cell phones, you know, so we constantly have access to people who are trying to contact us, and there's a lot of pressure to respond immediately.
To some degree, it's commendable that people feel overwhelmed because it shows that they care. They're not just blowing it off and saying, whatever, I don't care, you know, and just checking out. What they're doing is they're engaging their family, their relationship. They're trying to just get stuff done. And what I've noticed is, and this is the bonehead, if you try really hard, you can get more done.
Well, but then isn't that the vicious cycle where if you try really hard, you're creating more overwhelm and you're creating this sense of urgency?
It's trickier than just that. It's not so obvious because there's really what we're looking for is a sense of satisfaction, a sense that, you know, that you're doing good work, that you're on top of stuff, that things are getting done, that there's, it'd be lovely if we got mastery. Yeah. We were just like on top of stuff and just managed to get things done and just things click. And the fact is for moments, that's true. The thing is about working hard is if you can just really focus and just buckle down, you can get through this thing. Because I've done it a zillion times and other people have done it a zillion times because there's finals and you study and then there's a release. Or there's this project and you get it done, you turn it in and there's a release. And then, you know, life's better. You get this release thing. And so there's this feeling like if only I could just push that I could get it done and then come out to this happy, harmonious promised land at the other side.
Is that really true, though?
No.
No, I don't think it is. I think that there's always going to be a sense of pressure. And really, that anxiety we feel is healthy. That is what has evolved us as humans. That is what has kept us alive. That is what has, you know, kept us from the bear.
Yeah, strive. We're always striving. Striving to make things better, striving to, you know, improve the systems, striving for a better life, striving. So striving's good. I don't have a problem with striving. And some degree of wishing you were better turns out to be healthy. But we're not really talking about that. We're talking about overwhelm, where things begin to break down, when there is an actual breakdown. Let me explain how it works. So what happens in overwhelm, we're using the overwhelm because it's a lovely word, but really what it is, it's a threat. There's a threat.
Parasympathetic nervous system.
Yeah. There's a sympathetic nervous system increase. Mm. And so your body prepares for the threat.
Mm-hmm.
And it releases stress chemicals. And the stress chemicals change our physiology and make us more able to deal with whatever the threat is. And it makes, you know, our muscles stronger. And it makes our blood sugars go up. So there's plenty of energy to fight whatever it is. It makes our blood pressure go up. Same thing, more blood flow. It makes our brain more alert, more aware of what's going on so we can engage whatever the problem is. And we really do get a better version of ourselves. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. We actually get this superhuman kind of thing going on for a while. There's a price to pay. Your guts get put on the back burner.
Yeah, your guts and get weak.
If you do it temporarily, it's not really much of a problem. But if you do it on a chronic, you know, ongoing basis and your guts fall apart.
Yeah, and your hormonal system is wrecked.
And so what we get people is their sleep gets wrecked. They tend to gain weight. They tend to have higher blood sugars. So if they got a tendency towards diabetes already, it throws fuel on that fire. They tend to get high blood pressure because the stress chemicals create high blood pressure. They tend to get headaches. They tend to eventually get gut problems, autoimmune disease, chronic inflammation, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, cancer even. If it goes long enough and breaks down enough, all those horrible things happen. So overwhelm does have a consequence.
Right.
And so it really does need to be treated. And the normal thing that people try to do, you know, there's exceptions, but most people, what they try to do is they just try to strive more because they've got the experience that if you just buckle down and push, you can get through this and come out to the other side. Because that's what happens so often in reality. I give you examples of that, how it goes. But you pointed out the other reality, which is, yeah, but it just comes back again.
It just comes back. Like, you complete one thing and it's on to the next. Yep. You just keep leveling up, leveling up, leveling up.
And yep.
The problems don't necessarily go away.
It's funny how you say leveling up, because in video games they do that on purpose, where
right.
The first level's easy and second level's harder and third level, yeah. And eventually you find your level of incompetency.
Yeah, but while you're playing a game, you find enjoyment in it, and you get better at the game, and it's a fun process. Sometimes it's frustrating,
yeah,
but
we like to strive. There's a point where if a game is too hard, I don't play.
Right.
I'm playing the game of life. I'm already struggling all the time. I need a release for the game. So games are a little bit different for me. I like simple games.
Yeah.
I like to win all the time. It gives me a feeling. I like them to be 5 minutes long. That's the kind of game I like.
Yeah.
5 minutes, hard as heck. I triumph always. That's it. Yeah. That's
those are my favorite projects too.
So, anyways, this is a problem, and people come to me over and over and over and over again, broken, horrid, stuck, not knowing what to do because they have these horrendous headaches, migraine headaches, or they have this horrible diarrhea or these horrible cramps that they
or,
go through.
Or, you know, this overwhelm causes so much anxiety that it's just paralyzing.
Eventually, it can be.
Yeah.
Because basically where people will just not get out of bed.
Yeah.
And just check out, quit their job, right? And figure out some smaller life to do. And they just, or and to have a mental breakdown. And just, you literally go crazy. That happens too.
Yeah.
Not often. Mostly what I find is that people struggle and strive and struggle and strive and struggle and strive is what they do. And then what I've noticed is some obvious things here. Number one, it's easier to think of things to do than it is to do them. But I can't hardly do half of them or
right.
a quarter of them.
We have good intentions, but everyday life often gets in the way.
Yeah, here's the other thing. My job, and so of many other jobs, is impossible to catch up on. Jobs are like this, that there's this, you know, series of problems.
Not only jobs, our family, our friends, the intimate relationships we hold in our life. So there's layers. It's not only about the self, it's about your closest friends and families too.
Yeah, so where this goes next is, if you really want to strive, 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 what you want to do is create a pattern of life such that you get more done, that you're more organized, you're on top of stuff, you prep your meals, and you organize
that's,
your sleep. And
I think something really important to highlight is to make sure that your basic needs are met so that your body isn't going into that overwhelm. When you are, you know, adequately nourished, when you have adequate sleep, when you have proper hydration, your body can better handle these stressors because its basic needs are met.
Yeah, life is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to plan for a marathon. You got to plan for endurance. Endurance is key. So there, you need some sort of system. And the problem with the system, though, is the system promises a better life in the future. Once you get it organized and everything running, you get a better life. And so often that is actually not the case. I read a book recently called 4,000 Weeks. As written by an expert in planning and
time management.
And he went through, I don't know, a dozen systems that he had lived. And he talked about the ultimate failure of all those systems. The ultimate failure is that there's too much stuff to do and not enough time to do it. That's the problem. He titles the book 4,000 Weeks, which is an odd title, I thought. What the heck is this 4,000 Weeks? And he explains it real straightforward. He says, that's how many weeks we have in our life. 4,000. It seemed not as many as I thought.
I don't like that. I'm going to strive for 10,000.
That was my thought, too.
Yeah.
Maybe at least 7, right?
Right.
And I still think that, honestly. Here's the thing. There is a limit. The life that you're living as you strive, 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 and you feel overwhelmed, this is your actual life. It's happening now.
Yeah.
This is your life. When I was younger, I really strived hard, and I could see the future.
Mm-hmm.
I was suffering in the present so that I could build a better future.
Yeah.
And then when I got to the future, it turns out I was suffering in that present so I could build a better future.
Right.
And then when I got to that future, I was suffering in that present so I could build a better future. It never ended.
And I can say the same thing. As I was a young single mom, I was striving for that future. I was working so hard to get to that point where I had made it with my daughter. And now I look back on the younger years and I'm suffering because I'm nostalgic and I miss those younger, tender moments that
yeah,
I was so wrapped up in being stressed out about the future.
That's a good point you're making, because the alternative to this is to look back on the past and idealize it and get the nostalgic. Yeah, I've struggled with this, and what I ended up doing that really made the biggest difference for me that actually was made it to where I could get more done, honestly, to get down to it, I got more done than I ever did before, was I blocked out time to not work. Particularly being a doctor, is that the need is so much and so many people are suffering that I really want to do the best work I can. And in order to do the best work I can, I got to stay fresh. And so what I have to do, I mean, this is an obvious thing. I have to go home at night and sleep.
Yeah.
So I do. I go home at night and sleep. I go to bed early and I sleep well and I get up in the morning and I exercise and I do those kinds of things just to stay better. But even with that, I still break down. And so what I discovered was, let me just tell you very specifically, and this is, I'm not telling everybody to do this. I'm just saying this is the thing I did, and you can do it if you want. Mm-hmm. Chances are it'll help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I did is I needed to get some of the stuff out of my head that I'm carrying around, things to do, things I'm worried about, projects that are kind of just hanging around me, that I'm living in this cloud of pressure. And so what I discovered to do that was helpful for me is I write it down. And I don't do it all the time. I'm not paralyzed by planning. I do it several times a week, but mostly the only time I have actually scheduled to do this is Monday. I start my week with this before I see any patients from 9 to 9:30. I actually sit down with my journal, I call it, and I open to a blank page and write down what is on my mind, the projects that I'm working on, things that I'm concerned with, so, you know, sticky points, whatever it is. And it's, you know, sometimes it's deep. And sometimes it's shallow. It's just whatever's on my mind. I just literally tell the truth to myself. I'm telling my story, and I get it out of my head onto paper. And what happens is I'm not the pinnacle of efficiency out of that. I just feel better.
Yeah.
I just feel better. I feel better. I feel like
get it out of your head.
It's out of my head. Yeah. It's on paper.
Another great thing is therapy. You can meet with somebody, and if you're not writing it down, you can talk it out.
Somebody's listening.
Somebody's hearing your story. And if you don't have a therapist, then maybe you have a loved one who has capacity to hear everything you're dealing with and share what they're dealing with. And then sometimes in that conversation, you hear what another person has on their plate. And you think, whoa, mine isn't that bad. And it makes you feel better.
You get perspective. Yeah. Or even if yours is the worst, you have the sense that it's shared now.
Yeah.
That somebody else has empathy for your situation. And not only that, but there's meaning to it. Whatever you're doing is meaningful.
Right.
And so you're right. That's a great thing to do, be able to sit down and talk to somebody.
It's in the process of building community, and community is so important for mental health.
Yeah, and this is a lot of what we do here is we actually listen to people. People come in. And they get to tell their story, and then, you know, it's not like, oh, yeah, whatever. I had that back in aught four, and it was 10 times worse. No, it's like you listen and you engage, and then you start, you know, working the problem, trying to figure out what the entry point is to turn this situation around that's overwhelming.
And then they feel supported. Then they feel like I have an ally to help me fight this front line of overwhelm.
Yeah, and so now it turns out this thing of overwhelm, turns out to be your actual life. And so to some extent, what you do is if it goes away, you miss it. That's what's really weird. No, it hardly ever goes away.
No, there's something always to feel overwhelmed.
And you
about.
Don't miss it when it first goes away,
but
then later.
But it feels weird. It does. I can reflect in moments of my life where I've had lulls, and I am so used to being in this fight or flight mode that, or I had been so used to being in the fight or flight mode that it didn't feel real, that I was always anticipating the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
And after a few years, the other shoe didn't drop. And, like, things, you know, piled up as they do, and I had to meet deadlines, and I had to continue to work and meet goals, but it never fell out like I thought it would. The sky didn't fall.
That may be a comfort, but that's a hard one to talk to people about.
Mm-hmm. You know, and, like, that's not to say that eventually it won't, but now that I've lived through multiple experiences of the sky falling out, I can know in myself that I can handle it. And if I can't, then I have a community. I have a support system that'll be there to help me catch me when I fall.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things about getting older.
Yeah.
Because I have seen it back in '04.
Uh-huh.
And we got through it then, and we got through it
and
in
it was
17
way worse.
As well.
It was way worse back then, you know? And, you know, I think
I walked uphill both ways.
40 below, no boots.
And look at me now. So one of the things that really helps me is to keep that perspective, is to step off the train and then, you know, stand on the sideline and kind of rest and relax for a moment. And so what I do is if something's important to me, what I do is, because it makes you feel like I planned it, this is a thing now, is I'll block time. So I block time to reflect. That's on Mondays. I'll reflect other times, too. If I got a minute and I really got a bunch of stuff on my mind, I'll whip out the old book and start writing stuff down, things I'm thinking about. And sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just do it once a week. Sometimes I do it, I don't know, 4 or 5 times a week. The other thing I do is every Thursday, and you know this because you manage my schedule, every Thursday from 3:30 to 4:30, I go and read a book that has nothing to do with medicine. And I go have a cup of coffee either at the coffee shop or at the library. They put a little coffee shop at the library, so the library's great.
Yeah, it's beautiful in there.
And they sell old books for a quarter, and it's hard for me to get out of there without buying 4 of them because I don't want change, so I get 4 books at a unit. Anyway, so I get a chance to read something different and get my mind a chance to clear. I look around and look at the snow or the plants or whatever. I just kind of take in this moment, this kind of magic moment in my life where I'm just soaking it up. And yeah, I feel better. It gives me a little feeling like, I don't know, I feel better. It's not, I'm not taking a day off necessarily. I'm just taking an hour during the week. But if I get into the position where I do feel overwhelmed, like I'm really pushing hard and it's piling up, I'm just getting tired, I think, you know, I got that hour coming up on Thursday. And usually Thursday's not that far away.
Mm-mm.
And I'm feeling like, okay, I got an hour.
Yeah.
I can make it. Yeah, I can make it. Now, the other thing that I noticed is that in the past, I would get sick every 3 months, and I'd be sick for 3 days. I'd stay home, and I would get a flu, or I'd get a cold, or I'd get, I don't know what I'd get. I'd just get achy, and I'd feel horrible. And then I'd get on the couch, and I'd get under a blanket, and I would watch old movies or old TV shows, but I wouldn't actually watch them. What I'd actually do is sleep, and they play in the black background. And I'd do this little routine, and it would take me about 3 days to recover, and I did it every 3 months, and I'd come out, and I'd be better. And then eventually my crew, this predates you, had an intervention on me. They all came into my office. They all filled up all my chairs. And they said, Dr. Looper, you have a pattern. You get sick every 3 months for 3 days, and we don't like it. And I felt embarrassed because they were right. There was absolutely a pattern. And what I was getting was this like vacation. And I was rationalizing by being sick. And they said, look, we don't mind the vacation part. We just don't like it that you're so busy and then you blow up 3 days of your schedule. We don't know where to put those patients.
Yeah.
This is really hard on everybody.
Running yourself down.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you need to do is you just need to plan on taking those 3 days off.
Yeah.
Just block it out. That way you can get sick or not. Mm-hmm. Take the 3 days and then we're all good. We don't have to worry about, you know, the schedule
anymore.
You're missing
everybody.
Them anyways.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's going to take away from anything you're doing. You're already missing those 3 days anyways.
Yeah.
So after I got done being embarrassed by the whole thing, I thought, you know, you're right. Except for I thought, I don't want to do 3 days in a row. I mean, what would I do? No, I want to do 3 days spread over 3 months. So I want to do 1 day a month, and that will be my day off. And it's better for me. It's better because it gives me something to look forward to. And I don't know. You know, I taking them anyways, I might as well just give it a go. So anyways, we tried it, and we scheduled 1 day out. Usually it was the last day of the month. It was either on a Tuesday or Thursday. You know, this is how I do
it. Yeah, we do Thursday.
And Thursday mostly.
Yeah.
And the way kind of the calendar works out. I don't do it Friday or Monday, because if I do that, I'm going to make it a 3-day weekend. I'm going to go do something. I'm not going to get the time off.
Right. You're not going to actually rest. You're going to get busy and do a home project.
Yeah. And so what I actually do, I mean, in theory, you'd think I'd be doing home projects and all the time. But in reality, what actually happens, because I've been doing this for like 5 years now,
mm-hmm.
Is I sleep on the couch under a blanket and I put on an old movie or TV show. Really?
I do
the same thing I did before.
Yep.
That is actually what I do.
And I
take a nap.
Important. Our bodies need rest.
It's weird because I don't never take a nap. I don't nap. I'm not a napper. I'm not a napping guy. And yet, once a month, I take a nap. Somehow, I need that release, and I need to unplug, get out of the flow, and then float.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like floaty. I just do this float thing. And then people around me, thank goodness, are very supportive of this. And my wife is fabulous. She says, you didn't take your nap. You need to take a nap.
Yeah.
Because she gets a better version of me. I'm peaceful and harmonious and I'm patient and I'm insightful and I'm this lovely husband when I'm rested and well-adjusted. Otherwise, I'm cranky and irritable and demanding and I don't know, all kinds of horrible things because I get into overwhelm. But honestly, I'm less overwhelmed now than I've ever had that I ever remember. And I'm busier.
And you're busier than
busier than I've ever been. And I get more done than I've ever been. And I just go, and I feel good about it because I take time off. I take a day off every month. I take an hour off every week, and I take a half hour off on Mondays, and I schedule these in. That's the trick for me, is to not just wait till I collapse and then take the break anyways. It's to plan for it.
Right.
So what this requires, and here's the key, I'll go slow on this one. It requires that you tell the truth about your life. It requires that you reflect on the pattern of your actual life. And that you honor who you are as a human being, because there's limits. Mm-hmm. You cannot do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't do everything. You do what you can, and that's as good as it gets. I'll say that again.
And
that's
you don't
as good.
Put pressure on yourself.
Yeah, it's as good as it gets. What we're looking for is for as close to perfection as we can get, which is far from perfection. Okay, let me give an example. I like a clean house. I just do. I like things to be neat and tidy around me. I just feel better. I get better feeling about my life. I never get a clean house.
No, not with a kid.
Well, not just with all my busy life. My house is never clean. So now I just created a situation where I'm permanently unhappy because what I want, I never have. So what I do, my compromise, is I clean on my house. I fight back the chaos every week for an hour. Maybe an hour and a half if I'm particularly ambitious. And then I also do a little spot cleaning during the week. You know, I do dishes and things like that. The messes that I make as I go along, I futz with those. So anyways, I also like the fact that I'm engaged. I mean, we could hire somebody to come and clean our house too, but I don't really want to do that because I just like taking care of my own
stuff. Touching your things.
Yeah,
being in your environment, taking care.
Yeah.
It's, I think, a big part of the overwhelm too. The thing that mitigates it is the ritual of doing the task. So the ritual of cleaning, the ritual of working out, the ritual of meal prepping. We get so stressed out about these aspects of our life, but in turn, that gives us great satisfaction because we've accomplished something for ourselves. We have our meals made for the week. Our lunch is done.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of the work I do is very brainy. I have to think deeply. I have to look for patterns. I have to tap into deep knowledge that I have about situations and have insight into being able to identify the patterns and then to intervene on those patterns with my patients. I spend a lot of time thinking hard. And it's nice to have a job where I don't have to think hard at all. I have to think I need to move the chair. You know, I like that kind of thinking.
Yep.
Right? I move the chair and then I vacuum underneath the chair and there we are. We did a better job for having moved the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the hour, the house looks better. I mean, this looks vacuumed, it's picked up, the kitchen table's clean, the kitchen counters are clean, the bathroom's clean. I feel better. I fight against the chaos every week. I push it back, and then it pushes back in, and I push it back, and it pushes back in. And there it is, the ebb and flow of life. And there's a satisfaction and a peace that I get in it. I'm not trying to drive myself crazy trying to shoot for perfection. Same thing at work. I mean, the chaos is here as well. I push against the chaos, except in this case, now it's not once a week, it's every day.
It's every day. We pile every new labs day. On your desk every day. We get
every
new
day
patients
we're pushing against the chaos.
Every day.
Yeah. The nice thing about this thing, though, is it's a satisfying situation because people come back routinely better. They feel better. They feel inspired. They feel engaged. They feel listened to. They just feel better. Things are moving in the right direction.
So we only have a few minutes left, but we haven't touched on any supplements that might be beneficial to overwhelm.
Yeah, there's a good, that's why you mentioned that, because this we could go on for hours on the subject. Let's touch upon a new strategy here, and one that people are pretty familiar with, that's serotonin. Serotonin is the neurotransmitter that when it's released, we feel better. We feel more at peace. It's like, okay, the house is on fire. All right, well, we better go save the kids.
Yep.
Right? Like that. Mm-hmm. Because you're just engaged in, you know, working the problem, but you're not particularly overwhelmed by it. There's a feeling like, yeah, I'm okay. That's serotonin. So if you can get more serotonin, how do you get more serotonin? We just did the whole show on that. Everything I said is a way to get more serotonin. Mm-hmm. For real.
But if you're constantly in that fight or flight mode and your guts aren't working properly, then you're not producing adequate amount of serotonin.
Let's talk about the assist to actually get the serotonin to come up more. Serotonin's made out of tryptophan. Tryptophan gets converted into 5-hydroxytryptophan, which gets converted into serotonin with the help of B vitamins mostly. And then that gets converted into melatonin. So there's a system there that our body uses to make these things. One thing to the next, to the next, to the next. So if we took lots of tryptophan and made sure we had the cofactors, B vitamins and such, then it'll hopefully eventually turn into 5-hydroxytryptophan and then into serotonin. And it does. It really does. People feel better. You could shorten the little pathway that your body uses by taking the 5-hydroxytryptophan instead of just the regular tryptophan. That's the 5-HTP. You do 50 milligrams once a day, maybe twice a day if you really want to push it. Maybe even, 150 milligrams a day if you really, really, really want to push it. And what you get is more serotonin. You actually make more serotonin. It works fast. It takes about 45 minutes to feel better. Unlike the SSRIs, those are the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
And that takes a few weeks.
Those take a few weeks to kick in
your system. Right?
Yeah, they work. They work really well. I don't want to take anything away from SSRIs, but what eventually happens is your brain gets used to it, mm-hmm. and then they don't work anymore, mm-hmm. and then eventually they just don't do anything. They just literally get in the way. And normally it takes about 3 years for them to kind of fade out, and then hopefully in that time period your life will have changed and you'll get better at kind of flowing with things. Again, we're not looking for mastery. I mean, we want to be masters, but, mastery is elusive. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is we want to enjoy the process, and we want to strive, and we want to engage, and we want to notice the flowers, and we want to notice the small victories along the way, and we want to tell our story so we get inspired to be able to keep fighting against things, and we get supported by the people around us. That's the whole show, is that thing.
Yeah.
And if we want to get the serotonin to get it to where we have more energy, more focus, and more ability to persevere, then we could take 5-hydroxytryptophan and get there quicker, better, faster. We could also do SSRIs, but if we're doing SSRIs, we better really start thinking about how to put together a real life, because this SSRI thing is going to run out. Whereas the 5-hydroxytryptophan doesn't run out, because it's just helping the system that your body's doing already.
Mm-hmm.
You can take it forever, mm-hmm. and you'll always do the same thing, which is turn into serotonin as your body needs. The nice thing about not pushing the serotonin itself, but just providing the building blocks of serotonin, is it puts a control of the whole process where it needs to be. It's in your body's systems. I mean, they've evolved over millions of years, and they've kind of worked the patterns out more or less. And so they function typically better than we can. If what we do is we take over, we push your body's systems to the side, and we start running the show, what you get is side effects. You'll get better benefits up front, and then the systems break later.
Right.
We do that over and over and over. That's drugs.
Yeah.
Is what that is.
Yeah.
You want to feel more peace, so you want to get more endorphins in your body. You take opiates, and you get more endorphins. You get that endorphin rush where you feel relaxed and at peace. Yeah, but then you get addicted, and your life is ruined. You play it all the way out, and it sucks. It's just a bad strategy. People try it over and over. There are people trying it today.
Yes.
As we speak.
Yes.
And they will fail, like everybody else failed. It does not lead to a better life. You get temporarily better. Long term, it falls apart. So really what we're looking for is long term flow of treatments, better than the drugs.
And creating little rituals that you can accomplish to create that serotonin to then perpetuate that drive to accomplish all your goals.
Yeah, that's basically what the whole show was about, is setting up these little victories, doing these things where you get to tell the story, you get to take a break, you get to reflect, you get to strive, and you get to rest, and you get to strive, and you get to rest, and you get a thing where there's a flow to it. And that's what we're really looking for. We're looking for that flow. Here's the thing you have to recognize, and I'm going to stress this. It's the final point. It is impossible to do everything perfect. You just can't do it. There's just no way. It just doesn't get you. You can't even get close to perfect. You just have to settle with good enough.
Progress, not perfection.
And if you want to push on something that's really important to you, you really need a clean house. You could put, instead of putting, an hour into it or 2 hours into it, you can put 5 hours into it, and then you're going to have a perfectly clean house.
Yeah, that's my method of cleaning house. I let it get trashed, and then I go for 5 hours.
Yeah, and then you can get real close to perfection. But there's always something, right?
Yeah.
There's always a piece of dust on the mantelpiece or something,
there's always
right?
another load of laundry that needs to get washed.
Yeah, that's all crazy. Now you've lost perspective. Now you're an expert at one thing, and you're failing at 5 other things.
Yeah, because then all of your other tasks or goals fall to the
side. Yeah, that's OCD. There's a name for that.
Dr. Zuber, we're out of time for this episode.
All right. Well, I'm glad we did the episode. This is a common problem, and hopefully we give some people some hints and tips. By the way, 4,000 Weeks, excellent book. I highly recommend it.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.